Welcome to the Let's Get Vulnerable podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Morgan Anderson, psychologist, relationship coach, attachment theory expert, creator of the ESL relationship method, author of Love Magnet, and athletic wear connoisseur. My mission is to help you raise your self-worth, have great relationships, and step confidently into the next level of your life. Each week, two episodes will air featuring expert advice, live coaching, and tips showing you exactly how to improve your life and attract a healthy relationship. You deserve to feel empowered, secure, and loved. Buckle up and let's get vulnerable. It's time to say goodbye to the cycle of self-doubt, of relationships that don't go anywhere, of low self-worth, of insecure attachment styles, of repeating the same patterns over and over and over again in your love life. And it's time to say hello to becoming the empowered, confident, securely attached version of you who effortlessly attracts the relationship that is meant for her. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. And I know that so many of you are doing that in your love lives. I want to invite you to stop the cycle, to take control. Whether you're in a relationship or you're dating, wherever you are in your journey to finding healthy love, I know that the Empowered, Secure, Loved program can help you release your past, release your insecure attachment, and become that securely attached version of you who has the kind of relationship that she's always wanted. Do not wait on this. You deserve to heal. You deserve to prioritize you becoming the best version of you. Summer is going to be right around the corner, and I want you to be able to step into your dating life feeling so empowered and excited and ready to meet your person. Give this gift to your future self and take 5 minutes to apply to the Empowered Secure Love program. The link is in the show notes. It's a super easy application process. You'll fill out the app. You'll book a call with my team. They'll answer any questions you have, and you'll determine if the program is the right fit for you. Seriously, do not wait on this. I know I put off my own healing for a decade, and if I could speak to my younger self, I would say, prioritize you now, right? We take ourselves everywhere we go. Only you have the power to change how you're showing up in your relationships. And you deserve to work on that now so that you avoid the future heartache, the people who are emotionally unavailable, the relationships that go nowhere. I don't want to see you wasting your energy in more of those kinds of relationships. Take ownership now. Go to the show notes and apply today. You are going to love this program that has helped over 500 women heal and attract healthy, beautiful relationships. It is everything that you need, A to Z, to become securely attached, and you are supported and held throughout the process. This is a one-of-a-kind program, so don't wait. Go apply. The link is in the show notes. I can't wait to see you inside of the program. Welcome to the Let's Get Vulnerable podcast. It's your host, Dr. Morgan. I'm so happy that you're here. And today's topic is going to be so good. I am going to talk about signs of avoidant attachment style. And then we're also going to look at traits of narcissistic personality disorder and what that actually means, what it looks like. I think there's a lot of confusion still around what is narcissistic personality disorder, and even people confusing folks with avoidant attachment as having a narcissistic personality disorder. So I hope this episode is super helpful. And I just want to help any of you who find yourselves identifying with parts of avoidant attachment. So this is going to bring you some clarity, some understanding. And I know that it'll help you whether you yourself identify with this or that you feel like you've been dating people who have these traits. So let's get into it. I'm so excited. All right. So let's talk about avoidant attachment style. For those of you who don't know, attachment styles are rooted in the research of attachment theory,
came from the 1950s. John Bowlby, Mary Ainsworth originally looked at attachment styles in the context of parent-child relationships, and they found four unique attachment styles. We have anxious, avoidant, disorganized, and secure. And avoidant attachment, we know, comes from difficulty with intimacy, trouble relying on another person, being stuck in this place where you feel like in order to be in relationships or in order to just survive yourself, you have to show up as hyper independent. So that means I'm going to struggle to ask for what I need in relationships. I'm going to struggle to even connect to myself and know what it is that I need. So at the root of it is this feeling of hyper independence. I can't rely on others. I can't trust other people. And these are a lot of times, if you identify with avoidant attachment style, this is where you likely have put a lot of effort into other areas of your life. And it could be that you have a thriving career. You have everything in your life, right? Maybe you've built a beautiful home and you have these amazing friend groups and you're traveling the world with your girlfriends, whatever it looks like. You've been able to really build in a lot of other areas. And then you keep getting hung up on your romantic relationships. So that is some of what avoidant attachment style looks like. And I do have other episodes on the pod that go super, super in depth. But I'm gonna review some of it right now. So let's get into some of these signs. And you may be taking notes. I always encourage that, right? There's so much you can learn about yourself as you're listening to these episodes. So take notes, or if you're driving, you might want to listen to this again later, but let's get into it. So number one, I've kind of touched on this, but with avoidant attachment, there's a real difficulty with expressing your emotions. And I think what's really important to note is this is also related to difficulty connecting to your inner experience. People with avoidant attachment style might have experienced chronic emotional invalidation, meaning that whenever they would go to a caregiver, it would be invalidated or it would be ignored. Or these are the people who, when they were crying, the parent says, "Don't cry," right? Like, just, you know, get over it. With avoidant attachment style, you're really struggling with your emotional world. And at some point, you learned that to survive, you were better off to compartmentalize your emotions and rarely open that box up, right? The next thing, so number two, with avoidant attachment style, this is fascinating, and this one doesn't get talked about enough, is that when you're dating, and even if you're in a long-term relationship, I see this all the time with long-term couples, what happens is you find ways to distance yourself from your partner. And this is so unconscious. Of course, it's not intentional. You're not sitting there going, "Oh my gosh, I'm too close. I want to distance myself." This is a compulsion. It's something that your brain is doing to try to protect you, right? And a lot of times in dating, this can look like having those ultra specific, ultra high standards and being what people refer to as nitpicky, where you are just finding any little thing that you don't like about the person. So if you find yourself doing that over and over, you might be someone who's experiencing some avoidant attachment strategies, and it's that unconscious urge to kind of devalue the other person, to find reasons why you would want to pull away and distance yourself. So I hear this all the time with people who are dating. It's like, "Oh, I just get the ick. I just get the ick when they're chewing," or, "I just don't like the way that they dress," or, I don't like that we live 30 minutes away from each other. It's these things where you go, okay, I see that that's what your brain has logically told you is wrong. However, it's likely there's something deeper here, right? These standards are actually not core standards that you really truly need for that relationship that you want. So some of you might be feeling called out right now, and I just want you to know, I get it. Once again, this is unconscious, right? We never want to judge ourselves as we're learning about attachment styles and how our brains work in relationships. We never want to judge ourselves. It's all so that we can better understand why we do what we do, so that we can have compassion and that we can change it. All right, moving on to the next sign. And this one is fascinating as well. So when you have avoidant attachment style, you will be really turned off by people who you see as needy, right? You'll be really turned off. So this could be even friends, people in your life who you think like, oh, they always need support. They're always asking for help. They're always complaining about something. And that's because, let's think about this. If you had to develop hyper independence as a survival skill, and then you did not have the support that you needed as you're growing up and as you're in relationships. When you see people who are then asking for support and receiving support, that can be really triggering to you because there's this part of you that would have wanted that for yourself and you weren't able to have it. So there's this whole unconscious process going on, and these are the people where what's wild is it turns you off, but you also attract a lot of those people into your life. So even though it turns you off, that's your comfort zone of taking care of things, of taking care of things for others, over functioning, right? Being hyper independent, getting shit done. That's your comfort zone. So you end up attracting a lot of these quote unquote needy people into your life. So that's another fascinating aspect of avoidant attachment style. Moving on to number four, we have the struggle with relying on others, and you will dismiss your own need for support. So, kind of what I was just talking about, but it's really hard for you to depend on someone. You'll always have this fear that they're going to drop the ball, they're going to let you down. It's really challenging for you to rely on other people. And at the same time, you're also ignoring your own needs for support. So it's hard for you to depend on others, and you're also disconnected from whatever needs you have for support. Okay, moving on. The next one that we have is a fear of dependency. So with avoidant attachment style, we become afraid of getting accustomed to having support, of merging our lives with someone and depending on someone and letting that become something that we're used to. There's this huge fear that if I let you in, if I start to depend on you, you will eventually let me down or I will let you down. Another sign of avoidant attachment style is that fear that I'm not a good partner. I'm not good in relationships, right? I'm going to let you down. So not only do I not want to be dependent on you, I don't want you to be dependent on me. And this fear of dependency, once again, can cause a lot of unconscious distancing, a lot of pulling away, and it can make it really, really difficult to build true intimacy with someone with avoidant attachment. All right, the next two signs are, I think, something that a lot of you probably have experienced in your dating life. So get ready. The next one is experiencing mixed signals. So being hot and cold. With avoidant attachment, it's likely that they'll come on, they could come on pretty strong. They're present, they're there one moment, and then the next, you don't hear from them. Radio silence, right? You can't even get a hold of this person. And maybe you see that they're still posting on their Instagram stories, but they're not texting you back. And you're going, what the hell? Right. And this is particularly common if the connection was good, which is even more frustrating. You're going, oh my gosh, the connection was great. Why am I not hearing from this person? Right? And this is the distancing strategies, right? Of being present, pulling away, being present, pulling away. And this can feel so frustrating, particularly if you're in this cycle for long periods of time. I know there are those of you who you'll send me a message and you say something like, this has been 3 years of these patterns, or this has been 7 years with this person of they're in the relationship, they're out of the relationship, they're in the relationship, they're out. And I think the longer you stay in the pattern, whether it's you on the receiving end or you that is showing up with avoidant attachment, the longer you're in it, the more frustrating and hurtful and toxic it can feel. All right, the final sign that I'm talking about today of avoidant attachment style is that you end up with a lot of surface relationships and very few deep, vulnerable relationships. So these are the people, a lot of times they can be very charismatic, they can have a huge friend group, and they'll have a lot of acquaintances, and then they have few people who really, truly, deeply know them. And if they do, they might just have like one person, right? So even in your friendships, this can show up as difficulty really deepening a relationship. Even if you've known someone for years, you might not actually know them with this attachment style. So I hope that going over this was helpful to you. And once again, if you're identifying with these things, have compassion, be understanding, and I want you to know this truth. Your attachment style can change. And past research would have denied that, but we know now that you can always move towards a more securely attached way of being in relationships. It's always possible for you. And I have myself as an example. I have over 500 clients as examples of this truth. And I know that no matter what has happened for you in your life, no matter what toxic relationship you've experienced or childhood trauma, I know that secure attachment is available for you. Right? It starts with awareness. It starts with what we're talking about today of taking ownership and knowing what's going on. So, obviously, if you've identified with this and you're ready to do the work, I want to encourage you go apply to the Empowered, Secure, Loved program. This really is everything that you need to move towards secure attachment. And it's such a supportive, loving community with lifetime access to all of the coursework, one-on-one coaching support, also community aspects inside our private Facebook community. And you get access to myself and to my incredible coaching staff who are all trained in everything I teach. And 75% of them are graduates of the program who then said, Dr. Morgan, I want to help you with this. So it's so powerful to have this incredible community. And I just want to remind you, you don't have to do this alone, especially by avoidantly attached folks. You are so likely to just try to go heal by yourself, right? And that's a pattern that's keeping you where you're at, that keeps getting you the relationships that you keep attracting, right? You need to break the pattern, and it can start with you acknowledging that you need support. So go apply to the program. The link is in the show notes. It's a super easy application process. I can't wait to support you inside of the program and help you do this work. All right, y'all. I wanted to once again continue on in this podcast episode, at least for another 5, 10 minutes. Let's talk about narcissistic personality disorder. So here's the deal. With avoidant attachment, the way that people show up in relationships, at the core, it's that fear of intimacy. It's that fear of being dependent, right? There's all of this unhealed relational trauma that's at the root of avoidant attachment style. Whereas, if we look at narcissistic personality disorder, what are the roots of the behaviors? I'm just going to read you the definition here from the DSM. All right. So, narcissistic personality disorder. Oh, and that's the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders. That's what we use in clinical psychology to diagnose people. So, this is straight from the source, from someone who is a clinical psychologist, not just someone calling themselves a narcissistic coach. You know what I mean, y'all. There's a lot out there on the internet. On Instagram, everywhere. Be careful where you get your information from. I've heard some horror stories of people who had worked with other coaches before they came to my program, and just the lack of care, the lack of support, and the lack of expertise is mind-blowing. So that's one thing I feel so good about and so integrity based with our program, is that this is all rooted in actual science. And I'm someone who went to school for, gosh, over a decade to obtain a doctorate in clinical psychology, and I have actual credentials. And it's getting to the point where I think I need to put my diploma on my wall so that you all know that it's real, because there have been some people who have claimed to have certain credentials, and they actually don't. So that is not me. This is in integrity, y'all. I have studied everything that I talked to you all about, and I have thousands and thousands of hours of clinical work and working with clients. And this tangent got super long, but clearly this bothers me. Okay, narcissistic personality disorder from the DSM. Let's go. It's a pervasive pattern of grandiosity, need for admiration, and lack of empathy that usually begins by early adulthood and is present in a variety of contexts. So let's go on to read a little bit more. Individuals with this disorder have a grandiose sense of self-importance. They routinely overestimate their abilities and inflate their accomplishments, often appearing boastful and pretentious. They may blithely assume that others attribute the same value to their efforts and may be surprised when the praise they expect and feel they deserve is not forthcoming. Ooh, anybody remembering Matthew from Love is Blind when he's talking about, oh, all of America is on my side, right? He's so grandiose in his mind that he's believing that all of America is going to back him up. That was a great example of at least narcissistic traits. I hate to label anyone, but he certainly gave us examples of the traits, right? Another criteria with NPD is that these people really, truly, the way they show up in relationships is with manipulation and a lack of empathy. So I'm going to read this part of the DSM to you. Individuals with narcissistic personality disorder generally have a lack of empathy and have difficulty recognizing the desires, experiences, and feelings of others. They may assume that others are totally concerned about their own welfare. They tend to discuss their own concerns in inappropriate and lengthy detail, while failing to recognize that others also have feelings and needs. So notice how this is so much different than avoidant attachment. With narcissistic personality disorder, there is such a need to control, to manipulate, right? And it comes out of this fragile sense of self and their own wounds. And if they are pulling away, or if a narcissist is appearing hot and cold, that's simply because of lack of empathy and the desire to control and manipulate you in some way. Whereas with avoidant attachment, that's coming up because of fear of intimacy, right? So I think it's really important just to realize that while that term narcissist gets thrown around a lot, it's actually extremely rare that someone would meet full criteria for NPD. Even Matthew, even with everything we saw, he would need a full clinical interview to know if he met criteria. That's just the facts. So I want to be quick, whether it's diagnosing yourself or looking at others, I want to be very clear with acknowledging that it's likely that there's attachment wounds, that there's other things going on, and we need to be a lot more intentional if we're ever going to throw around that term narcissist. All right. So I hope this episode was really helpful to you and that it gave you some clarity. And once again, I need you all to know, no matter what you have experienced, no matter what your past has been, if right now you find yourself in the pattern of dating emotionally unavailable people over and over, or of being in this series of, maybe you're in this series of long-term relationships, maybe you get to year three and then you always break up at year three and you never can move forward and you never get engaged, right? And that's all you want is you're so ready to build a family. You're so ready to have that partner that you can do everything with, that you can travel the world with, that you can build a home with, whatever it is. I want you to know that you can break the patterns. You can break the patterns no matter how concrete they feel. You can break them, and it starts with you. It really does start with you. And I'm so cheering you on that you're tuned into this podcast because that means you're willing to do the work on yourself and you want to learn and grow and build awareness. So I'm so excited that you're here. And make sure if you haven't already, I would love, love, love to have you leave a review of the show. I actually read all the reviews. So leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. And of course, as always, I appreciate each one of you. And I'm wishing you high self-worth and great relationships. I'll talk to you soon. Thanks for tuning in. I really appreciate each and every one of you. The best way you can thank me is by sharing this episode on Instagram or Facebook. Make sure you tag me. It would mean the world to me if you took just a moment to leave me a written review on Apple Podcasts. This podcast is not free to produce, and the more that you help this show grow, the more people will be able to help. Until next time, I'm wishing you high self-worth and great relationships. Thank you for being part of this community.